Baptist Church planters, Dr. David Little, who was the president, David Witcher, who was the coordinator of Hispanic ministries, what I am doing now, invited us to come and be with Baptist Church planters to work in the Hispanic field. And we went, we did not really know any Spanish at the time. So after we left the church officially, we went to Costa Rica for just a one-month crash course. That was our first formal instruction in Spanish. So we took that one-month crash course, which is a basic kind of thing. Then we came back, continued to travel, speaking, raising some support. And then the next year, which was 2011, January through January, February, March, April, May, 4 or 5 months, something like that, we went back to Costa Rica and studied more diligently, but we had that basis to help us to go on. So we've studied basically officially 5 months of Spanish only about 5 years ago, and the Lord has been very gracious. I'm preaching often in Spanish, teaching in Spanish. I don't have any problem conversing in Spanish. Those kind of things. And so the Lord's been very gracious, because the older you are, the harder it is to learn. So if you can do the math and calculate, I was 56 when I took those first Spanish lessons. So, and we're very grateful for that, to be able to do that. And that brings us to where we are today with, the Spanish ministry, so Baptist Church planters. So what I want to do, what Wanda and I are going to do, we're going to kind of tag team a little bit here, so that you can hear from her. We're going to share with you a lot of personal, real kind of story things that God is doing, so that you see specifically from your prayers and your help for us financially of what God is doing, because we believe in the providence of God, and there are going to be some things that you're going to see of how God's hand of providence is moving in all of these things and many things along the way. So we're going to do that. We'll give you the quick review that you have even in the bulletin. The purpose is planting, partnering, preparing, planting Spanish-speaking or bilingual churches, and partnering with English-speaking churches, helping them to understand and seeing the need that's in our country, because we are the second largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. And even though that growth has slowed down a little bit, it has not stopped, and it continues to spread throughout the United States. We often think California, Arizona, Texas, and Florida as the four or five in that area most highly populated states of Hispanics, and they are. But it is spreading throughout the United States. For instance, at this point, South Carolina is one of the fastest, number one in the fastest growing Hispanic population. I think number four or five is Minnesota. And so you can see that it is just spreading throughout the country as well. Now, let me begin with this area. I didn't say anything about preparing. That's why she's here. Preparing. That is to help Spanish pastors in the United States with some education. Many of them have come to the States. They generally congregate in areas where there's a lot of Spanish speaking. And in doing so, they may not have grown in their English as they would like to. I've not met any Hispanics who do not want to learn English. They all want to learn English that I've met and that I know in testimonies of others. Sometimes it's difficult. Like we have a lady in our church, Martha Ramirez and her husband Hector. All of their lives here, they have been connected with Spanish speakers in their work and in their church, family members. And so they haven't had, in that sense, the need to become 100% proficient in the language. They all try, they all work at it, but it is hard. They do not have the same advantage that Bond and I had to go to Costa Rica for 5 months and to study a language. That's all we did. We just studied. So it's much more difficult. And so if we even Shane, your age and others here, if you moved, let's say, to Costa Rica job-wise, the majority of the people you would be working with probably also had come from the United States and they speak English. You would probably look for a church that would be English-speaking. And in Costa Rica and San Jose, Costa Rica, and the metropolitan area, there are a number of English-speaking churches. But you would probably be working 40 to 60 hours a week. You have your family. So when you come home, you're tired. There are computer programs or other kind of programs. There are classes you could go to in town. But after you do all that work all day long and spend time with your family, now you're exhausted. And so at 10 o'clock at night is not the time to sit down in front of a computer and learn a language. And so it's just difficult. And sometimes we have to reverse ourselves and say, okay, why does a person in Walmart not speak English the way we think they ought to speak English? Or they're not speaking Spanish. The probability is they know some English, but they're just uncomfortable in using that as their language when they have Spanish speakers that they've gone to the store with. And that'd be the same as when we were in Costa Rica and we'd go into the mall or into the store, and unless we had to use our Spanish with somebody, we just talked English with each other. It's just the natural aspect and flow of things. So many of these people who are here who then become Christians, and then they're in a church where they came to know the Lord, and now they've grown enough where they've become a deacon, and then the pastor moved on someplace else. The Spanish-speaking pastor moved someplace else. Now this church needs a pastor. What they know to do is look with inside. So Hector is a godly man. Hector loves the Lord. He's a deacon. So let's make him our pastor. Now, Hector has had no training except from his pastor, who has had no formal training and who maybe had a little bit of formal training from some missionary in another land where he came from. And so part of preparing then is trying to help these men learn doctrine and theology, church organization, etc., within the confines of the church. Also to help them understand that planting a church in the United States is different than planting a church someplace else in a lot of countries. In Mexico, you just find a building and you're going to start a church and you take a sign and put up Ebenezer Baptist Church. Meets here on Sundays at 10 o'clock. People start to filter in. You know, that's just the way they do it. Most of the time, most of those churches have no organization. Some of them never have deacons. They have pastors who have never had formal training. And so that's why the education aspect of missionaries going overseas has taken a different turn, not just planting churches, but that of starting Bible institutes and colleges around the world to train men. And that's a part of what we try to do as well with educational DVDs, networking and bringing people together and helping them. Daniel Giron in Perry, Iowa. We had lunch, preached in his church, had lunch with him. We're sitting there talking, and I said, so tell me about your constitution, church constitution and church doctrinal statement. He looked at me and said, we don't have one. I said, really? I said, you were meeting inside of an English church. He said, yes, but the pastor didn't help us at all. He says, I do not know how to write a doctrinal statement or a constitution. So that's a part of the education. So now I have a simple doctrinal statement translated into Spanish and a simple model constitution that's translated into Spanish also to try to help them to become organized in what they need to know and do. So that's part of preparing, okay? Now, let's go on. Burlington, North Carolina, over at North Carolina, someplace. I see it. I know it. Go there often. We were there years ago, and encouraged them to do something. They had a burden for Hispanics. They didn't know what to do. So we encouraged them to do an English second language class. So they asked us about that. Bob Latour asked me a lot of questions about it. We talked with him and his wife. And as we were doing that, I a number of things I recommended. I recommended that you make sure you have child care, because they just always have their kids with them all the time. So they need child care. So they have child care. I said you should always have some kind of snacks and coffee, because Hispanics are like Baptists. They like to be around that kind of a thing. Where did I put my cup of coffee? I had it right there. It is. And they just enjoy that kind of, we would call it fellowship, standing around visiting with a cup of coffee and things. And so that was important. I said, you need to have people who are going to be committed. You can't say, oh, I'll be glad to help teach English. Well, it's a lot more difficult than what you think. And it's not necessarily teaching all the grammar, but some of it, like in this class here, is just simple conversational English. Now, they use this as an evangelistic outreach. That's the purpose of it. And in doing so, they are trying to use teaching English and then to have times and where they're able to share the gospel and work it in with their English as well. So there are a number of English teaching programs that are Bible-based. So you're using the Bible to teach. You're using the storyline of redemption through the Bible, from Adam, from creation, all the way through especially the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. This is level one in this class here. And interesting how they teach these things. And so I'm sitting in this class. Wanda and I are in this class, and then we divide it up with some others, observing, seeing how we can encourage them and recommend things. Well, there is a problem with immigration and people without papers. And there's a problem. It's a problem within the Hispanic community. It's a problem in the Asian community. It's a problem with a lot of different communities. Let me give you a simple illustration here. We were out to lunch with somebody, and the person was kind of hard of hearing. And so the individual who was taking the orders, his English was not very, very good English. And so the individual who was listening, I finally was helping to be able to order. And so as soon as the waiter walked away, the comment came out, he can't hardly speak English, he must be illegal. I said, that's a possibility, but it's not necessarily true. So I said to the same individual who loves to go to a Chinese restaurant, I said, I've not been in any Chinese restaurant to where it's been easy for me to understand the person, the Chinese person speaking to try to get it. I said, do you say the same thing? No, I never thought of that. Oh, it's just because in your mind, because of what the political situation is all about, that everybody is illegal. But there are hundreds of thousands of illegal Asians that are here as well. Hundreds of thousands, perhaps, of Europeans that are here illegally as well. Hundreds of thousands of people that we know, of course, from Afghanistan and that area that are illegal. And there are people from Africans that are here illegally. I said, so let's make sure that we think across the board, and we don't just think, let's single out this one group. There are Canadians that are here illegally. May we say, there are Americans in other countries that are there illegally as well. As well as years ago, it was 25, 30 years ago, illegal against the Mexican law to be a missionary in Mexico, an evangelical missionary in Mexico. But we used to always say, let's send them missionaries there because the gospel is the most important thing. That's what we would say. We said the same thing of Russia. When the borders were closed, we would somehow get missionaries there, smuggle Bibles in, which is against the law, their law. So we have to apply those things across the board, okay? So anyway, these people here, some of these are without papers. And so they're trying to reach them and then reaching them when they come to know Christ, then we disciple them in the ways of Christ. Many people have gone back to their own countries to be missionaries because they've been saved and they come through these things. This is an advanced class. The advanced class is more of a one-on-one or one-on-two kind of a thing. This is a couple and their children. I don't remember their names now. Did you?
Hamalia and her husband. I don't remember.
Okay. But they are believers now. And they are attending the church now. And so this is after about 3 years, they're seeing a little bit of fruit where people are starting now to come to their church. One of the things that helped was when I was there a year ago, Wanda and I were there, I was speaking in the English church, and I knew that this was going on at the same time in the evening service, the Spanish teaching English over in the fellowship hall. And so I rushed out, told the people, I greeted them real quick, I'd come back, but I needed to get over there. So I got over there and I started talking to them in English a little bit, and you could tell that I was a stranger, and so they struggled with talking to me. So I switched to Spanish, and then it opened all up. And then when I came back to attend these, it opened all up for me, and just walk in, they know who I am. And so that's a part of what we do, helping English churches reach out to the Hispanics in the community. Okay?
Another aspect of our ministry is down in McAllen, Texas, and this is where we have one of our single missionaries. Her name is Carol Sioka, and she is there after serving 24 years in Peru as a missionary. Then she came with Baptist Church Planters and is now serving there in McAllen, Texas, which is about 85 to 90% Spanish speaking. So you feel like you're in Mexico when you are right there. In fact, when you get out in what's called the barrios or the neighborhoods, if you closed your eyes and just drove there and then realized where you were, you'd think you were in Mexico. So she is there helping right now in an English-speaking ministry, but helping with the Spanish aspect of reaching out into the barrios. They have a food distribution ministry and then also a children's ministry during the week. And here she's teaching. She's doing a great job. I went to her class and was really impressed with how clear she not only understood the scripture, but presented the scripture in its biblical context. But she is getting ready to retire, and she's at the age where she's just a little nervous about how do I do this and what do I do? So we're helping her to go through that. And we went to one of the services in the barrios. This was back in February, where they just have like basically a tent out in somebody's yard, and they're just trying to hold services there to reach the barrios or the area there near the border. And oftentimes we love using technology because technology can be used for good or bad. We might as well use it for good. So we use technology a lot by having video conference calls or video chats. And here we are chatting with Carol down in Texas, just trying to answer a lot of her questions and encourage her just to make some wise decisions as she looks forward to retirement to know what to do. She doesn't want to quit serving, but she needs to know how to have that balance of knowing when to retire and what to do. So here we are. This is actually in our home, right there on our kitchen table, and we're just video conferencing with Carol. And I think you were going to do about Hayward.
Hayward, California is a unique place. This is Carlos and Isa Vasquez. And so you are familiar with that name, especially Isa, who has cancer. She is in her third bout of cancer, twice with breast cancer, now with cancer of the throat. And it's really a very, very serious matter for her. She was just in the hospital a week ago today. They went into the hospital. I had texted with Carlos and Will. Will is kind of a deacon, right-hand man of Carlos. And he was actually speaking that day. Carlos just has him speak once a month, helping in his training. Well, it turned out that Carlos had to take Isa to the hospital, and she was having a hard time breathing and some things. Wound up that they thought it was a blood clot. It turned out to be a tumor that was pushing against or growing towards her jugular vein. And so that was a problem. Plus, her windpipe area was 75% blocked. So they had to do an emergency tracheotomy at that point, and just to be able to help her breathing. And they were able then the next day or Tuesday to get her off breathing machines and doing all on her own. And then trying to determine how to attack this tumor. So she was going to have another surgery that was going to allow her then also to pinpoint the tumor and to do radiation. Of course, it's right on the jugular vein, and so you got all this very dangerous things, and then to be able to eat, and she hasn't been able to swallow very well. So now she passed a swallowing test that they do. She was able to do that. So pray for Isa. Isa's daughter was having some difficulties, and Wanda will share more about that in a minute. And so we worked it out. We raised some money, and we flew her out to our home for a week. That's a part of what we do. Flew her to our home. We took care of her for the week. She wanted to come, and so then in just trying to help her, she went back. Her whole attitude had changed, attitude towards her mom, attitude towards her dad, for various reasons, some things just going on. She has an older brother also who left home as an adult, but he was still living at home, left home, and there were some serious issues there, walking away from things of God, sinful behavior. But through this, most immediately, I found out yesterday, there's been a few changes in Daniel's heart and his life, and we're going to see if that's going to be long-term, so pray for that. Just by way of providence of God, these are things where people have come to know the Lord and were baptized. Now, this was where they were renting at one time. They're in a regular church facility now, and you'll see the picture here a bit different. But that's their baptistry when they were at this place. And so they had a kiddie pool, and they would fill that up, and Carlos would get in there and be on his knees, and then people would get in there, and they would sit down, and then he would baptize them that way. This couple, this man and this woman, a quick, interesting story, show the providence of God on this. They moved here 30 years ago from Cuba. They came to Florida, Miami, Little Havana, Cuba. And from there, they moved to Michigan, Wisconsin, etc. Well, then Carlos and Isa, God moved in their hearts, and they left El Salvador and came to the United States. And then God grabbed hold of his heart also on something. He believed that he should plant a church. So they started a church in Hayward, California. This couple moved from Michigan or Wisconsin. They moved down to Southern California, and then they moved up to Hayward, California. So you can see the providence of God there already. Well, they were looking for an apartment to rent. At this time, Carlos and Isa were living in an apartment complex, and she was the manager of a 50-unit apartment complex. They came, they got into an apartment, this couple here did. They wound up then, Carlos, he uses that opportunity, he introduces himself to everybody, starts a Bible study, etc., and about a month or 2 months later, this couple vanishes. They left the apartment complex. Had no idea where they were, nothing. A couple of months later, 6, 8 months later maybe, there was a knock on Carlos's door. Isa opened the door, and it was this couple. And they asked for Pastor Carlos. Carlos came, they invited him in the house, and this couple literally said to him, said, "We know that we need Jesus as our Savior." That's where it came. All because of that. Can you just see the hand of God from El Salvador to Hayward, California, to Cuba, all around the United States, and back up to Hayward, to the exact apartment complex. And then for them to go away, but under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, come back without moving into that, going to Carlos and saying, "We need to be saved." And then they've been baptized and been a member of the church. Amazing how that takes place. So here he is. You can see Carlos on his knees there, getting ready for this baptism. And, of course, it's sunny all the time there, so they do it outside. This is that facility, and they had grown from out of a garage. They were meeting in a garage, and then they went to here, and now they're meeting in an English church facility, which is a very excellent opportunity for them to continue to grow. So continue to pray, especially for Isa's health, because it's going to be difficult. They live in a two-bedroom apartment, Carlos and Isa, $1,800 a month for a two-bedroom apartment, San Francisco Bay Area on this side, not a nice area, and they live there. They have a 15-year-old daughter And then Isa's mom, who is virtually blind, lives with him also. So Carlos is here on a work visa, so he has to work some in that field, which he's a dental hygienist. So he drives about 40 minutes every day to go to work. His wife is in the hospital now again, so he's missing some work, etc., which means that he's losing some income in that aspect. Fortunately, they have good health insurance out there. So they have lost this income just to meet the necessary bills, you know, daily bills, not talking about anything extra with hospital stuff. And they have a 15-year-old daughter. They have a 70-some-year-old mom living in the house, virtually blind, has to be cared for. Somebody needs to be around most of the time. And they have a son who's an adult, but is a wayward son. Just all of this upon you. So that's why we do things like the Facebook and the letters and everything, so that people will be reminded on a regular basis, pray for these folks. But then, you know, Lord's going to take her through this cancer stuff. And there are going to be other needs that are there. This is her daughter, Rebecca. I'll just let you see the picture. Wanda will share more about that in a moment.
It is a real joy for me to be able to work with some of the teen girls and the ladies in our ministry. And with Rebecca that we just saw, she was really struggling when we were there in March. She even was having some suicidal thoughts. Her older brother had left home, and she looked at him as their best friend, and so she felt lost without him. Her mom is facing death, and she's struggling with that. And just being a normal teenage girl, she was going through a lot of struggles. And she and I connected really well, and it was really exciting to see how she opened up to me. But Carlos and Isa came to us and said, is there any way that she could come and spend a week with you? We feel like she really needs some counseling and some help, and we think that she connected well and that she would enjoy that. So we began to pray that God would provide somehow, and we mentioned it to a few people. And several people donated and paid for at least over half of the cost to fly her out. And we were able to fly her out to spend a week with us. Now, this is a little bit dark, but this is actually a picture of Rebecca, which is the second one from the right. And we gave Rebecca and then the two girls on the left, which would be Shayla and Shaylee, they're twins that I teach at our church in South Carolina. We were able to give them all new Bibles. And we had a special day where we presented it to them. The girl on the right is actually a college girl at Bob Jones, and she's kind of like my right-hand assistant in helping when we are home, that I do teach these teen girls. So Rebecca flew out, spent a week with us, was able to meet the girls there, and it was just really exciting to see God do a work in her heart. We had a lot of long conversations, a lot of time in Scripture, but the Lord, I think, really began to work, and we pray that it's continuing to work in her heart. And just another picture of the girls together. These are just some very special girls. The girls on the left, the two twin girls, have not known their father all their lives. He left when they were babies. Just recently he got back in touch with them and trying to build a relationship with them. Their mom is living with a guy, has been for a number of years. They do attend the church, but there's just not good things at home. So we just, a lot of burdens. Another girl that I minister to that's not in this picture, she found her dad dead a couple of years ago from drugs and alcohol. And another one that I've ministered to, her father tried to kill himself, but he didn't do it. He, as a result, is blind and really crazy. So it's just been a lot of tragedy. But these girls I've just been very hopeful for. And this is the girl that I mentioned that is a Bob Jones student that is my helper. She calls us her South Carolina parents, and we are just grateful for her help. She has a real burden for Hispanic ministries. And here we are actually Skyping with Rebecca out in California and the girl I just showed you, because they live 2 hours apart when out in California. So this summer, while they were out there, they got together, Hannah and Rebecca, and together Shayla and Shaylee and I all Skyped together just to kind of keep that connection across the country with each other, praying for each other, upholding each other. And then in July, I was able to have a mini camp with a couple of the girls at our Spanish church in South Carolina, able to take them away to a house that God provided for us to stay in at no charge. Someone just let us, in fact, that was a Facebook thing. I just put out on Facebook one day, does anybody know of a house in Greenville, South Carolina that would be free for us to take a couple of girls for a little mini camp? And we had a missionary from Panama within a few minutes respond and say, my grandmother owns a house just 40 minutes from you and it would be free. She wants to use it in the ministry. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. It was perfect. So we took a couple of days, and we were able to do this special curriculum called A Passport to Identity, of helping the girls to find their identity in Christ, not in our culture of today. So that was a very special time. And we made our meals together and enjoyed that. And then also in August, we had 3 weeks that we had an intern with us, Esther Gonzalez. We wanted her to learn everything she possibly could from our ministry. She has a burden for Hispanic ministries as well. And here we are Skyping with one of our missionaries. And our three goals for her during that time were to absorb. In other words, I want you to be a sponge and learn everything you can about anything at any time from anybody about whatever. So I wanted her to just really be learning. And sometimes all of us need to remember that. And then to adore, to know and to love her God more as a result of our time in the Word. And then to act on what she would learn and act on what she would learn about her God now and in the future. And every time she met a new person, I had her recite those three things, hopefully to help her remember that's what her goals were. So we had a good time with her. She actually taught at the retreat in Iowa. She drove with us out there to Iowa and taught the children, and also gave her testimony in our Spanish church in South Carolina. So we enjoyed having her with us. And we also had two sons for the summer. We call them our summer sons. And this is Josh and Felipe. They're both interested in Hispanic ministries. And they just lived with us so that they could both could work at Bob Jones during the summer. So that's one of our advantages of living only a mile from Bob Jones, to be able to have them. Okay. Oops. Sorry. Glendale.
Glendale, Arizona. This is what the whole gamut and goal is for, and is to have a church come to a point of graduation. And so this church has been a Baptist Church Planters, Baptist Church Planter Missionary Church Plant. It's a bilingual ministry. And so they have people who speak Spanish only, people who speak English only, and people who are bilingual, speak both languages. And that makes it a very unique ministry. So Sunday morning they have an English Sunday school going on while he is preaching in Spanish. Alberto Marquez, you'll see a picture of him in a minute. He is bilingual, perfectly bilingual in both languages, and so he'll preach in Spanish in the morning while the English Sunday school is on, and then he'll switch and he'll be speaking English, preaching in that service also. That's Alberto there with a plaque. This is a graduation time for them, the service, and I think an anniversary service as well. During there, this is Alberto and Adela, his wife, and Alberto is originally from Mexico City, came to the U.S., knew English fairly well from Mexico City, came here and studied for the ministry, and God has used him out there. So Sunday night, their services are in both languages at the same time. He does it this way. So they have hymn books in their chairs. They have an English hymn book, a Spanish hymn book, English hymn book, Spanish hymn book. And so they may all be singing the same hymn, but they're singing it in different languages at the same time, which is unique. At first, I thought, what's going on? But you don't even notice it. Nobody notices it. The song leader usually has two hymn books up on the pulpit, and so he'll sing one verse in English, then he'll sing the next verse in Spanish, and just keep going with those kind of things. And so it's unique that way. And then Alberto, when he preaches, he will translate himself in English or Spanish back and forth. When the ushers come, they usually have one of the ushers pray in Spanish and one of the other ushers pray in English. They give the announcements in both languages. Sometimes it's just in English up on the screen that they have the announcements and they're giving them, and then somebody is just speaking it in Spanish so the English people see it. So it's a very unique ministry, but they're probably running about 110, 120 people at the time of their graduation. Ventura, Iowa, is that you or me? I don't know.
I'll share. Ventura, Iowa. Every year we go to Ventura, Iowa to lead a Hispanic retreat. And that's a special time where we have sometimes about 100 Hispanics that come together for a weekend retreat. And I love to hear them sing. In fact, we have one slide here, hopefully, where we'll be able to hear that. This is some of our special music during that time. And we can hit that, maybe hopefully hear them singing a little bit.
And then she'll hit that, a little bit of singing. Okay.
Do I do it now or what?
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
No, you have to hit it over here. You have to...
On the computer?
Move the computer to right there.
That's just a little bit of our time there in Ventura, Iowa, and it's just a really special time where they can come together, just to get away from everything for at least 24 hours and just spend time with the Lord and with each other, and that's a real highlight for us that we just try to keep that organized, and we're trying to establish where we can have some other retreats around the country similar to that. You want to do the next one, dear? We're working this out. I wanted to say thank you again. This is from you. This is a picture of the goodies that you sent to us a couple of years ago when we moved into our house. And that was a huge blessing because when your box came, we basically had hardly anything in the house. We just had whatever we had in the trailer, so we were using camp chairs in the dining room. We didn't even have any furniture at the point. That actually is on a folding table that we had just grabbed from somebody. So when your things arrived, it was a huge, huge blessing. And I just looking at some of these things, I can tell you the towels are in our bathroom. They matched our bathroom perfectly. The candles that are there are on our mantle. And I just used the last of your plastic gloves and one of those sponges. So your supply was wonderful. It lasted a wonderful time, a long time. And I'm just very thankful. So every time I look at those things, I think of you. And I'm grateful for you as our partners and our team members in the ministry. So thank you very much. Another blessing we want to count right now is our car. And I know you've heard about that, how God provided for that almost a year ago now. We bought it last October 29th with 19,000 miles. And on this trip, we just turned 45,000 miles. So we're going through the miles pretty fast, but we're very grateful for it. God provided. And every time we get in, we say, thank you, Lord, for this car. Another blessing is just being able to talk to people. This is one of the men in our Spanish church that we help in Greenville, South Carolina. And that's, of course, in Spanish, which is taxing for the brain but exciting for the heart. And we're just glad that we can serve and help in any possible way in any ministry. And this is our family. That's Ben and Kayla there. They've been married now 3 years. And, yes, they're talking about grandchildren or children soon, so we'll see what the Lord does. But we have two grand puppies right now, furry little things. But we're thankful for them, and the Lord's been doing some real work in Ben and Kayla's hearts and lives, and we're excited to see what God is doing. And one of the blessings, too, is Ben's group, they had an evangelistic team for a number of years, and they recorded a CD this past year called Softly and Tenderly, and they are available out on the table right now. Really done well. A number of a cappella numbers on there that they arranged themselves, so it was really very pretty. And counting on your prayers. How about you finish off?
I was thinking of something else back there, and I don't remember what it was now. Oh, about the grandkids. So I told Ben and Kayla not too long ago, I said, I just want you to know, Ben, that when you were born, your grandma turned 60, okay? I said, I've already passed that point. So I'm not trying to pressure you here, but, okay. So prayers. Counting on your prayers, we do. Sensitivity, especially of spiritual things, as we travel, as we minister home and around the country, meeting with people. This is Mike Sullivan, one of our ministries in Iowa also. Very difficult ministry, and we were just there in August and trying to encourage him, listening to him, and help him in that ministry as well. Strength physically, we're thankful that we are physically, we feel strong. I mean, we do feel the effects sometimes, like after the trip yesterday, seemed like it took longer than what it was supposed to. It may just been the same amount of time, we just felt it a little different basis. But we feel like we still can go strong, and And so pray for that as well, because there's a lot of meetings physically that goes on. This was back in the springtime, March. I'd gone from here by myself to Arizona. I was at that graduation and ministered and preached there. And then I went out here to meet with particularly these three men right here, with one of our ministries, and it's a very difficult ministry, and these men are not trained. And so I continue to meet with them. We're going to start, I just got them on Skype recently, so we're going to start doing some Skyping back and forth and trying to help them. And usually when I'm out there, I take them out to eat. And I can't afford to take their families out to eat. I'd like to be able to do that because it's just more effective. But I try to take people like this out to eat so we can sit around the table and talk about the things of the Lord, what's happening in the ministry, how can I help, what materials do you need. I provide Sunday school materials for them in Spanish that they can use to teach in their worship service. And so they take turns doing that. And and that's another aspect of sometimes beyond our personal support, we tried to raise some funds for general ministry needs. Baptist Church Planters is a faith mission as well, and they do not provide me with missionary money to just do something like this, to take a pastor out to eat, a Spanish pastor out to eat or something like that. And I have built up a few $1,000s worth of money that I keep at BCP because I can do it that way as reimbursements and tax-free. But that's going to start running down again, and so I'll have to put out a plea for that as well. I don't like to do that, but it's just a part of the ministry in order to be able to do that. So physical strength, financial supply, particularly ours, the Lord has given us, we're at probably about 80%. Still, in one sense, lacking about $725 a month. Secretary just called from BCP, said a church was looking at taking us on for some support. So we're grateful for those opportunities. We don't do a lot of deputational meetings because we just don't have the time to do that anymore. And God has just brought in what he's done, and we're very thankful for that. So pray for those. Pray for our schedule. Sometimes it's hard to schedule things upright. And it just makes it difficult to do all the scheduling. Sometimes it seems like we're home for a month. Sometimes it seems like we are gone for a month, kind of a thing. So we do keep a schedule, like we're Katanning today. Tomorrow we'll leave to go to Shikshini to the PRBC meeting. We go to those kind of meetings for various reasons. We go because we have a lot of friends that we've known over the years, because I pastored First Ministry here in Pennsylvania. We have some supporters in Pennsylvania because of going to those kind of meetings, and then also to represent BCP and Hispanic ministries. And then we get home on Thursday, and then Monday we'll turn around and go back to Beckley, West Virginia for a conference there, and then we'll be home at the end of that month. What's that? Oh, Bob Jones meeting at that, and then the green there is the Hispanic think tank, which I networked and worked together for the last 3 years. This is our third meeting. We're actually having this meeting, which will be on the subject of immigration, and so we're looking forward to that. We call it now the National Conference on Hispanic Outreach, and we have something to play about
that. The Hispanic think tank. Now known as the National Conference on Hispanic Outreach, is seeking to encourage and equip Hispanic ministry leaders. We want to encourage one another by sharing ministry ideas, resources, and purposes. And we also wish to equip Hispanic ministry leaders by promoting expository preaching and sharing practical strategies for establishing Hispanic ministries. So join us October 7th in Greenville, South Carolina for this bilingual ministry event, as together for the same cause we encourage and equip. So visit today at www.bcpusa.org/Hispanic Think Tank to register.
this is doing something like this. We put on Facebook, put on websites, all these kind of things, trying to advertise that card you saw to begin with. We've printed 1,000 of those. We mail them out. We have a relationship with a Spanish publishing company down in Florida that also we send them a PDF flyer, and they put it out to all of their Spanish-speaking ministries they have contact with from the Mississippi out here. And then we're working on trying to do this out in Arizona and maybe in Iowa also. This, again, is our website, reachinghispanics.org. Always something new on there. Please always remember to go on there, think about that. Pray for the ministries that are involved there. So we do. We count on you as well for our partners. And it's always true, Philippians 1, 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And that's why we wanted to show you all of those pictures so that you would be able to connect people with that which you are giving the help, that which you are giving the reach, that which you are praying for in all of these ministries as well. So it not only is ministering to our needs, but it's ministering to the needs of all those people around the country, and that can also go around the world as well.